Tonight we are going to wrap up our series, Sharpening the Skill of Forgiveness. And some of you that have been with us for several years may at some point through this series have thought, I think I've heard some of this before. And the answer is, you have. I have taken the material for this series out of a previous series of messages that I did and actually published it as a book. The book is called Fact and Fiction on Forgiveness. It is pretty much the same material that we've been presenting on Sunday mornings and evenings. I will say that last Sunday morning's message takes three chapters of this book and combined them into one. So there are 13 chapters instead of the 11 messages that we've done here. But I put out a number of these books in the back. If you don't already have it, it's available to you. They are $10. If you like to do Kindle books, it is available in the Kindle store of Amazon for half that price. And if you do Kindle Unlimited, you can get it for nothing. So if you would like to have that material, or if you'd like to share it with somebody, I encourage you to do that. Tonight, I would like to conclude this series with a message entitled Forgiveness and Health. Health is on everyone's minds these days, from the astronomical costs of health care to preventative health care to finding cures for diseases once they've taken hold of a person. Sometime take stock about how many advertisements on television or radio or even in print have to do with some form of health care. It's a lot. A whole bunch of medicines that you can't pronounce or spell, but somehow you're supposed to tell your doctor that you might need it. Now, these concerns aren't new. As long as there have been diseases and death, and that's been a long time, folks have focused a lot of attention on health. And, of course, there's always somebody eager to make an easy buck that taps into a legitimate concern by offering quick and painless products. And often these cures will leave the patients just as unhealthy and probably a whole lot less wealthy than they were before. So as we conclude this series, I want to consider some of the health benefits to forgiveness. And I'd like you to turn to James chapter 5. The letter of James that comes after the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. James chapter 5. We're going to be focusing tonight on verses 13 through 16. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Notice the middle part of verse 16. Pray for each other that you may be healed. Now, I'm sure we've all heard that phrase, confession is good for the soul, and it seems to line up with what James has written here. It also agrees with an ancient Jewish rabbinic teaching, great is the power of repentance, it brings healing. But sadly, this doesn't often take place, even within the Christian community. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in his book, Life Together, man is destroyed only by his sin, and can be healed only by forgiveness. That's the basic crux of the human problem. Sin is our basic issue, and the only way that we deal with the sin problem is through forgiveness. He goes on to write how that applies within the Christian church. He who is alone with his sin is utterly alone. It may be that Christians, notwithstanding corporate worship, common prayer, and all their fellowship and service, may still be left to their loneliness. The pious fellowship permits no one to be a sinner, so everyone must conceal his sin from himself and from the fellowship. We dare not be sinners. Many Christians are unthinkably horrified when a real sinner is suddenly discovered among the righteous. So we remain alone with our sin, living in lies and hypocrisy. The fact is, we are sinners. But it is the grace of the gospel, which is so hard for the pious to understand, that it confronts us with the truth and says, you are a sinner, a great, desperate sinner. Now come, as the sinner that you are, to a God who loves you. God has come to save the sinner. Be glad. The message is liberation through truth. You can hide nothing from God. The mask you wear before men will do you no good before Him. He wants to see you as you are. He wants to be gracious to you. You do not have to go on lying to yourself and your brothers as if you were without sin. You can dare to be a sinner. Thank God for that. He loves the sinner, but He hates sin. Did you catch what he was saying there? He wasn't advocating that we hide our sinfulness. He just says that's what often happens. When we come to church, we think, oh, I've got to let everybody know that I've got it all together, right? And that's why when everybody asks, hey, how you doing? We all give the same answer, right? Fine. Come on, we all do that. We may be having the worst day of our life, but if we come to church and somebody says, how you doing? Oh, I'm great. Praise God. Because we dare not let anybody know that anything's wrong. We dare not let anybody know that we're struggling. Because then, oh, they might think I'm not a very good Christian. What Bonhoeffer is saying is, no, that'll let people know that you're very much human. We struggle. Let's face it, we sin. All of us. We are sinners saved by grace. And even as sinners saved by grace, we still stumble into sin from time to time. And when we hide it, when we make sure that nobody knows the real me, you know, I put on that front, you know, I put on that face so that everybody thinks that everything's just fine. Eventually, I may convince myself that everything is just fine. And that's a dangerous place to be. See, when we can be honest and open, we can find and experience forgiveness. And when we experience and extend forgiveness to others, we find health and healing. And I'm not just speaking of the physical body, although I do believe there is a relation to that. I believe it affects every part of our being, our body, our soul, and our spirit. See, what do you mean by that? Well, our body is the physical part of us. That's what everybody sees. And we're very aware that our bodies can be ill, it can be injured, but it also can find healing. By soul, I'm talking about the inner us, our mind, our heart, our will, otherwise known as the intellect, the emotions, the volition. Makes us who we are, personality. Through forgiveness, we can find healing for our souls. And then finally, there's the spirit, and that's that part that relates to God. Quite honestly, the Bible teaches that without forgiveness, that part of us is dead. We're dead in sin until we experience the grace of God and forgives us our sins, and then we are made alive in Christ. He's speaking there of our spirits. So briefly tonight, I would like to look at each one of those aspects of our being. How does forgiveness bring health and healing to our bodies, our souls, and our spirits? So first, I'd like to look at the physical benefits of forgiveness. James begins this section by asking, is any of you sick? And I think it's pretty clear he's speaking about our physical health. Throughout the Bible, that same Greek word is used to describe physical afflictions or healing of those. There are a few places where the New Testament may be quoting the Old Testament and use that term in a figurative sense, but most of the time it's meant literally. Now let's be very careful here. And I know we've covered this in other contexts, but it's worth repeating. Not all physical illnesses and injuries are the direct result of a specific sin that person committed. All right. Let's start there. Just because you're sick, just because you get injured, that doesn't mean I did something wrong and God is now punishing me. There are a lot of reasons why we get sick or injured. And it's not a bad thing to look inside and say, okay, God, are you trying to get my attention? Is there something I need to confess? But that doesn't mean that it's always that way. There are plenty of times where Jesus himself said, no, that's not why. It's not because somebody sinned. It's not because somebody was a worse sinner than everybody else. Things happen. We live in a sin-cursed world. So we're not saying that every time there is a sickness or an injury or something, that there's a link between that person's sin. But I think we should recognize the fact that our bodies and our souls and our spirits are very much interrelated. There is a whole field of medicine called psychosomatic illness or psychosomatic medicine. And when I first heard that word and understood what it meant, I thought, oh, that just means it's all in your head. No, that's not, that's overly simplified. What it means is what's going on in our minds, what's going on in our hearts, even what's going on in our spirits can have an effect on our bodies. And the medical field is really understanding more and more the connections between what's going on inside of us and how that affects us on the outside. And so if you are carrying a lot of guilt, if you're carrying a lot of shame, if you're carrying a lot of anger and bitterness and resentment and all these things emotionally, they have physical effects. And there are times in Scripture where there is a connection. David, when he was struggling with the guilt of his sin with Bathsheba, describes in the Psalms that it was literally making him sick in his body. He describes how he was suffering from fevers and his bones hurt. And it was all a spiritual matter. So there are connections. And experiencing the forgiveness of God can bring about physical healing and health. That's also true when we extend forgiveness to others. That can actually be good for our health, not to mention theirs, when we don't punch them in the face. Right? What is the opposite of forgiveness? Unforgiveness. Well, of course. But how would you describe an unforgiving person? That person is usually angry, bitter, resentful, maybe even hateful. And do you know that all of those things will wreak havoc on your physical health? Withholding grace to another person, withholding forgiveness, will actually have physical consequences on our health. Anger-prone people are 3 times more likely to have heart attacks than less angry people. That's science. It's a fact. When we extend forgiveness to somebody else, when we let go of those angry, bitter, resentful feelings, it improves our physical health. It's good for us. But when we withhold forgiveness, when we hang on to bitterness, it has an adverse effect on our health. In fact, it is impossible to be bitter very long without it affecting our bodies. Doctors have made the connection between bitterness and anger and resentment to things like glandular problems, high blood pressure, cardiac disorders, ulcers. One such medical professional is Dr. Archibald Hart. He's written an excellent book entitled Adrenaline and Stress. I would highly recommend anybody and everybody to read that book. And he details the damaging impact of living a stress-filled life. And he has an entire chapter in that book which he calls the forgiveness principle. And he writes this: the ability to forgive is therefore a very important stress reliever. Those who can't forgive and who harbor resentments are likely to be those who carry the greatest stress. When the mind perceives the need for revenge or defense, it keeps the alarm system on a high state of readiness, and adrenaline flows abundantly. And this constant high level of adrenaline rushing through our bodies can cause a whole ton of ailments. But forgiveness can reverse that trend. He writes, I doubt if a deeply forgiving person ever suffers from severe stress disease. There is something about a forgiving spirit that restores the brain's tranquility and lowers that fight or flight response. Of course, anger is not the only cause of stress damage, but it is certainly a significant one. So being able to forgive those who cause us hurt can keep us free from a lot of distress. Confessing our sins to God, confessing to those we have wronged, can also improve our physical health. Dr. Hart concludes, forgiveness is a more powerful stress reliever than any tranquilizer or blood pressure medicine I know of. And then he adds, I've tasted it myself. Now, I'm not saying that making myself feel better physically is the motive for forgiveness. I mean, Jesus tells us to forgive. That's motive enough. That's really the only reason we need. But there are physical health benefits to forgiveness. Secondly, there are emotional benefits to forgiveness. I've already identified how anger and bitterness and resentment and other negative emotions affect us physically, but they affect us psychologically as well. Bitterness often lies beneath our inability to forgive and to be forgiven. It denies us peace. It can destroy our relationships. And over time, these effects can become more severe. Long-standing grudges become extremely corrosive to our personalities, and they damage our relationships. Ultimately, a repression of anger can be accompanied by mild to severe paranoia. It can destroy all of the good that we have sought to do in our lifetimes just by holding on to those feelings. The Bible recognizes this as well. If you're still there in James, go back one book, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Did you catch that? Don't let a bitter root grow up inside you, because bitterness causes all kinds of trouble. More so for the one who is bitter than the one they're bitter about. That person may not even know, and if they do, they probably don't care. It doesn't affect them at all, but it tears you up on the inside. Maybe you've heard that saying, I don't get mad, I get even. Well, that's probably false on two counts. The person does get mad. They're probably mad when they say it. And they don't just get even. They got to do one better. You know, we don't stop at even, right? You know, we got to up their game. We've got to pay them back a little bit more. How much better it is to make every effort to live at peace with all men. Now, there are limits to that. Paul writes in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, there are some people that are not going to accept an apology. There are some people that will not accept our forgiveness. And that's on them. But as much as we can do, we are to try to live at peace. And that has a healing effect to our mental and emotional side. Forgiving is the only true remedy if we want to enjoy proper mental health. Remember hearing Billy Graham years ago say in one of his crusades, he had talked to the leading medical or mental health doctor in the city of London. And that doctor told him, I could release somewhere around 70% of my mental patients if I could convince them they had been forgiven. 70%! Forgiveness can bring healing to our hearts and our minds. And then finally, there is spiritual benefits for forgiveness. Warren Wiersbe writes, there is healing, physical and spiritual, when sin is dealt with. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. That passage we looked at earlier in James 5, the literal translation is, make it a habit to confess your sins to each other. Don't hide sin. Don't delay confession. Because when we have not experienced or extended forgiveness, we find ourselves wrapped up in a cloak of guilt. We know deep down inside that things aren't right, whether that's between myself and God or between myself and others. And that guilt will alienate us. It causes isolation. We don't want to be around those people because we feel guilty. We feel bad. And so we keep our distance. And pretty soon we may find ourselves totally isolated. Having an unforgiving heart also can affect our ministry. Bitterness hinders our influence for Christ. I mean, what kind of a testimony do we have if we're just grouchy, mean, hateful, bitter people. You know, it's like the door-to-door salesman that, you know, person comes to the door and they say, "You don't want to buy this, do you?" Of course not. But how many of our testimonies are like that because of the way we are, you know? I don't know where we got this idea that spirituality is measured by the downward droop of our mouths. And that, you know, really spiritual people look like they've been sucking on persimmons or something. Where do we get that? And then we wonder why people don't want to come to Christ. I don't understand. Well, look in a mirror. And it's especially true if we are bitter, resentful, hateful people. If we don't extend forgiveness, for one thing, it makes me wonder, have we really experienced it? If we refuse to receive and extend forgiveness, that's the kind of people we're going to be. And that's going to spill over into the lives of those around us. Fortunately, we don't need to stay there. If we find ourselves in that state, we don't have to stay there. By confessing our sins, by seeking God's forgiveness, by making things right with those we have wronged, by forgiving those who have wronged us, we can be healed. And I do believe that there are times in Scripture, and I think this one in James is one of them, where when it talks about being healed, yeah, it means physically healed, but it also means being healed emotionally and spiritually as well. We are totally made whole. In fact, I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said several times, "Your faith has made you well," or "Your faith has healed you." He's not just talking about the physical condition. He's talking about your faith has saved you, because we are saved by faith. It can have those healing benefits in every aspect of our lives. I like the way one author puts it. There is special benefit for the unwell person in this spiritual exercise, even if physical healing proves not to be God's will. When we are unwell, it is extremely difficult to pray for ourselves with objectivity because naturally we want to be restored to health. In addition, when we are unwell, we may find it almost impossible to pray at all. And here others may help us. As the elders pray with him, the sufferer is able to rest in the knowledge that through their collective prayer, his circumstances are being placed under God's control. And if physical healing is not God's will, he may be sure that spiritual healing that he needs is there through God's grace and peace. So whether that sick person is healed physically or not, there is still spiritual healing of God's forgiveness and the extension of that grace to others. Confession of sin is healthy. We should employ it. When you find that you're wrong, say it. When you have something, if you've done something offensive to someone else, admit it. Confess it first to God and then find that other person and confess it to them. Full confession can lead to full restoration. Now, it may not be the fountain of youth. It may not be the secret to live long and prosper. But experiencing and extending forgiveness can bring health and healing to every part of our lives, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, all without the high cost, the risk of side effects, and those annoying advertisements. Doesn't that sound good? Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, what a wonderful gift you have given to us in your grace and mercy. You don't treat us the way we deserve. In grace, you give us what we don't deserve, and in mercy, you don't give us what we do deserve. And in both of those, we find the forgiveness of sin. We find the ability to forgive others of the wrongs they've committed against us. And we can find healing. I pray that wherever we are tonight, wherever our hurts, we may be hurting physically or emotionally or mentally. Maybe we're hurting spiritually. Maybe it's all the above. I ask for your grace and your mercy to provide healing and health. May relationships be restored. May our strength and vitality be returned. And may we evidence to the world what your grace is all about. They may never read a Bible, they may never read a book about it, but they can see it in our lives. And that will be the greatest attraction to you. Greater than any sermon or any book. May they see your grace and mercy in our lives. We sang earlier, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Not just our love for you, but our love for one another. So I pray that this church and that we as Christians will be a living example of what forgiveness is all about, that others might experience it as well. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.